it's a busy week at the movies this week in the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti area. But I wanted to start off and say that Low Winter Sun, which premiered at the Michigan Theater, and is being shot in Detroit, had its television premiere on Sunday, and it did pretty well. It followed Breaking Bad.
That's a good lead-in.
It's a good lead-in, and it had about 2.5 million viewers, which was smaller than Breaking Bad, but it's about the average for AMC's highly acclaimed Mad Men. So the studio execs were happy about that. So we wish Low Winter Sun good luck in the weeks to come.
Based on placement, you can see the network is kind of looking at this to take over, because this is the last season of Breaking Bad.
Absolutely.
They're looking for this to be the show that takes over.
And they're hoping that Low Winter Sun lasts 5 or 6 years,
right,
which would be good work for folks in Detroit. The Toronto Film Festival announced another 75 titles to the festival, which runs September 5 through 15 in Toronto, just down the road, about 4.5 hours. It includes the work of the Japanese animator Hayao Miyazaki, a film called The Wind Rises. Alex Gibney has a film, The Armstrong Lie. Kevin MacDonald has a film, How I Lied Now. There's a lot of lying going on at the Toronto Film Festival. James Franco's film, based on the Cormac McCarthy novel, Children of God, is going to be shown there. Con Entry, Stranger by the Lake, Blood Ties, which stars Marion Cotillard and Clive Owens, are just some of the titles that are going to be there. They're also doing a couple films that star Corey Monteith, who was the young man that died, unfortunately.
Passed away in Toronto.
He was, most people know him from Glee, but he's got a couple of films. Mechanic is going to be there, and All the Wrong Reasons both featured him in that in those films. Now, opening this week at the Multiplex is a film that I haven't seen and I'm very much looking forward to. It's Lee Daniels' The Butler, which stars Forrest Whitaker as a White House butler who served 7 presidents, and it went over a 3-decade period, and essentially traces the dynamic changes in terms of civil rights for African Americans.
I'm sure it can be measured much in the way he's treated from start to finish.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And the performance by Forrest Whitaker is just outstanding.
Well, he's just a good actor.
He's a good actor, and it also stars Oprah Winfrey, Robin Williams, who plays President Eisenhower, John Cusack, Alan Rickman, Jane Fonda, and other big stars. So The Butler opens this Friday at a theater near you, a theater with not quite the pedigree and esteem of The Butler is Kick-Ass 2.
but that movie did shockingly well, the original one, which is obviously why there's a second one.
Yeah, and one of the critics says, if the original felt like it was designed for adolescents, however, this follow-up feels like it was made for adolescents with a whopping case of ADD. So,
got Jim Carrey, so that that seems to make sense.
That's right. Ashton Kutcher stars in a biopic on Jobs that's gotten kind of 50-50, a little less than 50-50 reviews. And actually, there aren't a lot of comments on Ashton Kutcher's performance.
I've seen pictures of him as Steve Jobs, and he looks like Steve Jobs.
And it actually played at Sundance. I didn't get to see it there, but the reviews are 50-50. There's no depth to the piece, and while it might be asking too much of the film to show the real Jobs, it barely hints at the complexity of his ambitions and emotions. A biopic that's perhaps too respectful of the tech icon's innovation still remains frequently engaging. So anyway, and then Paranoia, which actually stars Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman, or as one critic referred to it, Indiana Jones and Dracula. It's about Gary Oldman's character, who plays a high-powered executive, and Liam Hemsworth's character, the guy that starred in Love and Honor, the locally made film, and Hunger Games, and the Liam Hemsworth character becomes a pawn in a corporate war between Gary Oldman's character and Harrison Ford's character. There weren't really any reviews of the film, but it's not got that kind of positive buzz that you hope.
Has some good actors, that's for sure.
Now, the other film that has a really great performance, again, Forrest Whitaker in The Butler just has unbelievably good reviews, and so does Kate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine.
She doesn't do bad work.
Well,
ever.
I've seen this film, and this is Academy Award
is that right?
winning. She is really, really
great. I just find her to be extraordinarily compelling in everything she does.
And in this performance, she plays a character who is probably based to some degree on Bernie Madoff's wife. And it's that kind of thing where she was this high-flying socialite in New York, and then her world just completely falls apart. And she's right on the edge of madness in a certain way, and she moves in with her very, you know, if she's very, very highbrow, her sister is this very blue collar, very plain spoken, and you know,
down to earth,
salt
grounded,
of the earth kind of. Well, I don't know that she's so rounded. The sister's so rounded, but she's a very salt of the earth kind of person. And this Kate Blanchett character moves into her very modest apartment in San Francisco, and it's just fascinating to watch her work. She has meltdowns, and she tells lies, and she's trying to get her life together, and she's very insulting to her sister, and her sister's ex-husband and boyfriends are trying to deal with this Kate Blanchett character. But Blue Jasmine is definitely worth seeing. USA Today said Blanchett's bravura performance is tinged with haughtiness, dry humor, madness. It's one of the finest, most complex portrayals of Woody Allen character in many years.
Oh, I didn't know it was a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, it's a Woody Allen movie, and it's praised. Tom Long of the Detroit News, one of my favorite critics these days, as Jasmine's story is revealed and as Blanchett manages the fragile mask of her character's sanity, the film builds to a mighty emotional pitch. Another critic says this is the best Allen film since Match Point, and that's actually a fairly common referral. So if you like Woody Allen films, go check it out. If you just want to see a great performance, go see Blue Jasmine. We open it at the Michigan Theater this Friday. You can probably see it other places
nice.
As well. And then we have some short runs of some really great films. The oddest one comes up on August 16th and 17th. It's Storm Surfers 3D. It's a documentary film about these guys that surf super huge waves that are a result of hurricanes and
other
kinds of
storms. We're talking 60, 70-foot tall waves.
Yes, and it's in 3D, so the cameraman and the surfers.
That's who I'm most amazed with. I mean, those guys are riding the waves, but who's filming it? That's just crazy.
Exactly. And as a filmmaker like that, you can completely relate to that. So
wouldn't want anything to do with it.
But anyway.
It's got to be visually spectacular.
Yeah, it is. Storm Surfer 3D plays the 16th and 17th. One of the Cinetopia hits from this June, A Hijacking, also plays for just a short run on the 16th and 18th. And it's a film about a Scandinavian ship that's hijacked by Somali pirates. And
that's certainly timely.
It's about the cat and mouse game of the owners of the ship, of the Somali pirates, and then the families and the shipmates who have to deal with this very, very stressful situation. There's a film by Jim Cohen, who is a German filmmaker who is highly acclaimed. He's done kind of experimental work, and this one isn't really an experimental film, but it's a beautifully, beautifully shot film called Museum Hours, and it's about these two people who find refuge in Vienna's Grand Art Museum. One of them is a guard at the museum, and another one is a woman who's been called back to Vienna, hadn't been there very long, and their lives intertwine. It's a very charming, very beautifully shot film. Museum Hours plays on the 18th and 19th. And then my favorite film from the Toronto Film Festival, this is just the film that I happened to see that I like the
Sundance.
Best. Sundance.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
From the Sundance Film Festival is writer-director's Sarah Paule's film, Stories We Tell. And this is a personal documentary about her her life, her parentage, and the family stories that existed in her family, and how the layers are peeled back and revealed. And it's fascinating in the way that it's made. It's fascinating in terms of the story. And again, it was my favorite film from Sundance last year. It's playing the 19th and 20th only. It's called The Stories We Tell. Again, it's at the Michigan Theater. And then another
set. That is a movie of extreme courage. I mean, to strip yourself and your family naked like that.
It is. But you don't, you're fascinated by it as opposed to kind of like appalled about the family secret. I highly recommend The Story We Tell. And then Blanca Nieves, if you liked The Artist, which was a French film that replicated a silent film kind of aesthetic, this is a Spanish film that replicates the silent film aesthetic. It's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs story that's been transmuted into the 1920s in Spanish bullfighting context. And it's a lot of fun. It is comical. It is fun to watch.
How much do you have to drink to come up with that idea?
It's playing the 20th and 21st, or 21st and 22nd. So Blanca Nieves has a very short run. This weekend we have Lawrence of Arabia, a special screening as part of our Summer Classics series. Willow is playing tonight as part of our Summer Classics After Dark series. And then SLC Punk is the midnight film at the State Theater this particular Saturday. So
a lot of options this weekend. So we'll see you at the movies. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us once again for Cinema Chat. You hear it exclusively right here on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from Hollywood.